Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Collective. This is your host, Magenta, and I am here tonight, excitedly, with Reverend Peter. Say hello, Peter.
Good evening, everyone.
I guess to give some back info, definitely everyone needs to check out Peter's website. It's gothicwizard.com. Can you tell us what kind of services you provide for anyone who's interested?
Absolutely. I started doing, primarily I do tarot readings. I do that either over the phone, Skype, or preferably in person, though obviously locality is always an issue. That aside, I also on the side do some paranormal investigations as well. So I've been actually trained by an organization that was trained by TAPS. That's a little bit of a controversy in of itself, but the stigma against, you know, both as pro and con against the TAPS organization nowadays, but their methodology is pretty solid, you know, whatever your personal opinions is about them. That aside, though, I do paranormal investigations, but primarily what I focus on is spiritual counseling and assisting people through the use of tarot.
Awesome. I know you've been doing this for, what, more than roughly 15 years, more than that?
I first got into tarot. I got into the religion of Wicca kind of serendipitously. And once I got into that, I was living in Boston, Massachusetts at the time, and Salem, Mass. Is just north of there, which I visited frequently. And I came upon this one store. Unfortunately, it's no longer there. It was, at the time, it was a place called Merlin's Castle. And this very nice gentleman, Gregory, used to own it. I went in his store and, like when you get into anything, any new spirituality or any new aspect of your life, you ask a bunch of newbie questions. So I was in there asking a bunch of newbie questions. And then he kind of takes the conversation in a new direction, and he kind of cuts me off and goes, "Hey, you have a tarot deck?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "I know what tarot is, but no, I've never owned one before." So he goes behind the counter, pulls up a tarot deck, pulls out a book, says, "Buy this, read that. You have any questions, come back, talk to me." Like, okay. So I went home, read the book. I took to it like fish to water. I studied the tarot for about 6 months. Then I started doing some readings on the side with friends and people I knew to kind of whet my, whet my appetite a little bit and get a little experience. And then from there, then my friends were coming to me asking for tarot readings, and then friends of friends of friends, and I was getting invited to parties to do tarot readings at their parties. And then I was told there was an opportunity to read in Salem at one of the psychic fairs, one October. So I took advantage of that opportunity, and it just took off from there.
I guess I'm essentially a newbie with the metaphysical and any kind of branch of Wicca, or, you know. I'm a reader, so I read a lot of things, but I never implement it because, I don't know, I feel like I'm not ready or I'm not skilled enough to attempt to do anything. Sounds weird. But are you a solo practitioner, or do you favor people being in covens and things of that sort? How do you manage your...
Yeah, I'm a solo practitioner, primarily. I mean, I do engage in public rituals a fair amount. I've done a lot of public rituals. I've never been part of a coven, not that I'm particularly opposed to it, I've never really encountered a particular coven that I really, you know, petition myself to get into. Nothing against those covens. I just didn't find one that I clicked with, bottom line. And again, this, like any group, you just don't click with a group, and, you know, there's nothing particularly wrong with them. It just wasn't for you. And so I've been pretty much solo. I said, aside from the public rituals I've partook in, and I certainly enjoyed those, I've never really felt a deep calling to do the whole coven thing. And again, some people, that they swear by it, and that's excellent. You know, good for them. That works for them. But as I said, for me, it just was never a particular calling for me.
How did you become a reverend? I know you do hand fastenings.
Yes.
So how did you get into that kind of that calling?
Well, as I became more well known for when I was living in Salem, Mass, I wore many hats. I was a historic ghost tour guide with the most popular tour in Salem, Mass. I was one of his number one guides. I also was doing my tarot reading, and then I also toward the late latter part of living in Salem, I owned my own occult store. So I was doing a lot of things, and I, at the risk of tooting my own horn, I kind of became a big deal. And word got around, people got to know me and such, and that's kind of, you know, how word about me kind of got around, because I was wearing so many different hats. I was being exposed to so many different people, but it all basically revolved in Salem. Everything revolves around witchcraft, past or present, and so everything kind of all links back to that. So it all kind of came together. So anyway, my point being, because of all these people I know and how people got to know me, and, oh, I loved your tour, or, oh, I had a really good reading, blah, 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 I have had some people come up to me and say, hey, do you do pagan hand fastings, pagan weddings? And I was like, well, I don't. And I got asked so many times that I said, okay, I got to get ordained and to help these people out. So I originally did the whole online one, what's that one that everyone does online? I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, there's one that everyone does online, some generic non-denominational, technically church, that's like based in Washington State or something, I believe. Anyway, I did that. I paid the $20, filled out a form online, and boom, I was technically ordained. I wasn't really too thrilled about, you know, the whole online thing, but it got the job done. And in fact, I always used to joke about being quote unquote Reverend Peter because of, you know, my online ordination. I self-deprecate myself all the time, and I used to walk down the street going, I am the Reverend Peter, follow me, my tour. And I used to just used to ham it up. It was awesome. But anyway, what happened is then I became, shortly after I got to Salem, I became acquaintances with Christian Day, a pretty controversial figure in Salem at the time. He'll admit, he has, just like everyone, he has his pros and his cons. But, you know, while we've had our spats, as a whole, he's treated me good. And so, you know, I've certainly taken the task on certain things. I've been very, you know, and he knows that. I'm very upfront, and I'll tell him anything I say online, I've already said to his face. So it's you know, no big deal on that level. But he at the time he was in a business relationship with Lori Bruno, who was her reader at his store Hex at the time, and mm-hmm. she had a official pagan church based in Salem that was recognized by the IRS and completely above board. So he suggested to her that I become ordained under her church. Which she graciously did, which I thank her for, and I thank him for that opportunity. And so I'm actually really a reverend now in a real non-online church. So,
wow.
So that's how that. So very long story, but that's how that all came about.
I'm sure doing hand fastings and being a part of that is rewarding. Do you have any? I wanted to ask. I know this is a little stir in the pot, but from an outsider who hears all these stories about Salem. Is there a lot of politics in Salem?
Yes.
You know, some like dirty, dirty underground stabbing in the back, Julius Caesar kind of stuff going on.
Oh, but, absolutely. There's no doubt. And I've said this on my, if people want the dirt, all they got to do is read my wall on my Facebook, because I'm very blunt about it. It's a bunch of 40 and 50 year old, most of the town's store owners, I'd say a good two-thirds of them, 40, 50 plus year olds running around acting like 13 year old little girls in middle school, gossiping and complaining and backstabbing. And I'm friends with this person this week, then I'm enemies with them next week, and I'm friends with their enemy. It's just drama fest behind the scenes. And some of it has spilled over into public view, newspapers, some tabloid TV, what have you. And you know, it is what it is. If, you know, as much as I'd like to say it's a wonderful spiritual community where everyone works together and everyone loves each other, and at the end of the day we all get around a bonfire and sing Kumbaya, as much as I would love to say that's what Salem is, absolutely not. Now, are there some really good people in Salem? Absolutely. There really are. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, I was not a big fan of Christian when I first got there, Christian Day. But I'll tell you, talking to him, sitting down with him, and yes, he has his moments. Yes, he can throw his tantrums, and yes, he has his vices like everyone else. However, you take all that aside, he's a very well-read, very good business person who knows his stuff, and he's very well-versed on many topics, especially when it comes to necromancy, you know, aka mediumship. He's very, which he wrote a book about. He's very, very well versed, and he really does know his stuff. So, you know, there's two sides to every coin. Is there a lot of drama? I mean, are some people just irredeemable drama queens in Salem? Absolutely. You know, and there's some people that are angels in Salem. There's a couple, absolutely, but most people fall somewhere in the shades of gray in the middle. Leaning more toward the drama queen, some leaning toward more pretty good people. But occasionally, they just get lost in the drama themselves, and you know, it just happens.
Well, I guess that's in every group, you know, like
absolutely.
Regardless of what, it's in every group. You get a group of people together, eventually they're going to start acting that way for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
It's just something that happens.
And it's bad. And I've championed so many times, I've said both privately and publicly, listen, if we just, you know, just the biggest problem, I'll tell you, the root, which is the root of all evil, as it's a cliche, but it's true, money. And unfortunately, a lot of the people in Salem think the pie, the proverbial pie, financial pie I'm talking about, is static, not dynamic. And they think, oh, if this person makes a dollar, he or she is taking a dollar from me. That is not how
business works. So you guys are all basically
competition. That's not how the economy works. Just because they made a dollar doesn't mean they've literally taken a dollar out. But unfortunately, they don't understand that, and they think, oh, if this person makes, you know, is making money, then they're taking money out of my pocket and taking food off my table. What they don't realize, well, there's two things. First of all, that's not how economics 101 works. Second, and the most important thing, if this person is making more money than you, then maybe instead of throwing a 12-year-old temper tantrum about it, you know, maybe you should say, hey, maybe there's something that I need to change to do better business. Because obviously, if people are not spending money with me and spending money with the guy down the street, then obviously I'm not doing something right. And I got to look in the mirror and figure out what that is, change it, and you know, have a better business. So that's
But unfortunately, most people don't are not able to do that. You know what I mean? It's just not embedded in people to be like, oh, well, someone else is doing better. Let me see how I can learn from that. You know, it's
absolutely.
Yeah. But now on your tarot readings, how do you? I'm trying to word this correctly, and I'm probably gonna sound stupid. But when you're doing a reading for someone, how do you get your input of information? Is it basically off what the cards, or is it more of a like a mediumship that comes with it? Like, how do you interpret and get your information for people? I'm just always curious how people, because everyone's different, you know?
Yeah, and hit the nail on the head. And let me just preface my answer with, this is my personal interpretation and belief of it is. You get 10 tarot readers, you ask them that exact same question independently, and you're going to get close to 10 different answers. I mean, the honest, you know, no fluff, save the fluff for the peanut butter answer is, how does it work? I honestly don't know. How do I think it works? Sure, I'll be happy to tell you how I think it works. But no one can honestly sit here and say, this is exactly how it works. Because if we knew exactly how it worked, it wouldn't be occult sciences, it wouldn't be the esoteric, it would be hard science if we exactly knew how it worked. And that isn't to that point yet. So with that said, how I believe it works is, for me personally, I believe the tarot on a subconscious levels opens up doors for me to tap into my spirit guides, and I get information through them. One could also argue, you know, tarot readers also tap into the collective unconsciousness, which is I am a firm believer in. So. And the collective unconscious, for those people who don't know, that kind of starts bordering on actual real science, where, you know, in quantum mechanics, basically, one of the general views is everything is interconnected, if not on the physical realm, on an ethereal realm.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's all interconnected is our subconscious, our knowledge and our subconscious. And so there's a theory that if we can tap into the collective subconscious, that there's this vast amount of information that we all share on a planetary level. And so one of the theories is that, you know, people who work on their intuitive abilities, they're able to tap into this collective unconsciousness.
Now, are you, when you do a reading for someone, let's say you have, a card that is, you know, like, not red bad, but, you know, there are some times where you're going to have to tell somebody.
There were some real bad cards. And so everyone knows, the death card is actually a fairly positive card. That's actually not the card you need to worry about. You get the death card, it's actually pretty good. Yes. The death card is actually symbolic, meaning change. It's a symbolic death. Very, very rarely does it mean... literal death. Probably one out of every 100 or 200 readings doesn't mean literal death. It 99% of the time means figurative death, which meaning like the end of a relationship, an opening of a new chapter, a new career path, a new focus in college or whatever, something like that. Basically, ending of one chapter, the opening of a new. That's traditionally what the death card means. Now, there are some cards in it that are very bad, and you... that there's really no positive meanings to those cards. There are some. I mean, because honestly, you can't. There's no such thing as a. There are people who give only fluffy, what we call fluffy bunny readings, which is they only want to talk about the good stuff. They don't want to talk about everything's positive, positive, positive. And if that was the case, if that's really how life worked, then you wouldn't need to go to a tarot reader because obviously there'd be nothing wrong. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain ethics readers do to say, listen, this is, you know, there's certain ways you approach certain topics and certain ethics, you know, unwritten rules that all tarot readers should adhere to, and a lot do. But just like all professions, there are some who, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you got the fluffy bunnies who never want to tell you anything bad. They only want to, if it's bad, they're going to turn it into something good, which is not doing you justice. It's not giving you the information you need, and it's not being honest with you. On the flip side, you got the charlatans who, oh my God, you got a family curse, but if you buy this $200 crystal from me, it'll help you. So, unfortunately, with, like I said, every profession, you have your problem childs, you know, and unfortunately, tarot reading is no different. And you know, it's a lot easier to fake being a tarot reader than, you know, or a spiritual counselor than, you know, it is being a charlatan, lawyer, or doctor, or what have you. So.
Sure. Well, my question is, like, I'm curious if, as a community, or, you know, if you guys notice, let's say someone new comes into, you know, because Salem is, I visited when I was like 13 or 14. You know, it seems like it's a pretty well-known community. So if someone new comes in and you guys have a sense that they're, you know, not real, you guys just let it be, or do you guys try to handle that?
Well, I mean, you know, there's one particular shop in Salem that uses a very Christian preface to their readings. They're not a traditional witch store at all. They're very Christian-esque facade to their establishment. That is basically the black sheep of Salem. Unfortunately, the stereotypical con artist tarot readers you hear about, the ones that you got a family curse, but, you know, I got this, but you buy this, you know, $200 crystal from me, or you have me perform this $150 ritual for you, and, you know, all your problems, your family curse will go away, and this won't be a problem anymore. They've been unfortunately notorious for that. From my understanding, the local police have tried to get a few undercover cops in there to try to get them to pull that with them, but, you know, they're not dumb, you know? You see a guy, a clean-cut guy and a crew cut come in, and it was very just a facts man kind of person, that they kind of stand out, you know?
Yeah.
But you get a hysterical woman, oh my God, my husband left me, and I don't know why my life's in, you know, you need that type of person, and they're the ones that hit up. Because I've literally talked to some ex-customers of theirs who've come to me afterwards and said, oh my God, yeah, they tried to sell me this $100, $200, $300 item to cleanse my house or cleanse my family curse or this or that. I've literally spoken to several people who they hit up like that. And it's very important. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can really do. If everyone says, hey, I'm thinking of going here, you say, for the love of all this holy, don't go in there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all you can do, unfortunately. I mean, they're ostracized from the community, but when you get 100,000 people there, you know, on, for example, just on Halloween day, not including all the other tourists for the rest of the tourist season, you know, you can't protect everyone, unfortunately.
Yeah. At this time, I guess I'll open the call line. So if anybody wants to call in, has a question for the Reverend Peter, you guys can. The guest call-in number is going to be 516-387-1909. So I just wanted to let everyone know they can actually call in at this time. My aunt actually went through thousands of dollars with the scam artist for years because, you know, they said she was cursed. And blah, 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 thousands of dollars down the drain. And all she did was buy candles. And I'm like, no. You know, so it seems so silly but, you know, some people get really, I mean, they know how to scare people into thinking.
Oh, they do. If there were people I wanted to take advantage, there were many, many people in my career if I wanted to take advantage of them, I could have, because a lot of people come to you. A lot of people think, oh, this is the biggest thing. A lot of people go to tarot readers, it's all fun and games, they're just doing it for fun, it's Salem, you know, it's all touristy fun stuff. And there are a percentage of people like that. But I tell you, only probably about 20% of all the readings in Salem are the, I'm just doing it just to say I had a tarot reading in Salem. I don't really, you know, care what's, I just want to walk away and say, hey, I got a tarot reading in Salem. You know, it's all fun and games.
Yeah.
Only about, I'd say about 20%, roughly about 20%. The vast majority are people with real problems. Let me give you some, just to give you an example, let me give you some of the topics
mm-hmm.
that I've dealt with. I've dealt with rape victims. Teenage rape victims, in fact. I've dealt with failing marriages. I've
mm-hmm.
dealt with people with severe financial problems. I've dealt with infidelity problems. I've dealt with family members dying. Seriously, a lot of tarot readers are, you know, a mix of, you know, Dr. Drew, best friend, and Dr. Ruth, you know, it's just, you play a little bit of therapist, you play a little bit of best friend, and if you realize you're way over your head, you try to, as kindly as you can, suggest, listen, you know, I really think you need to talk to a therapist about this. You know, there is a definitive line when there are some people that just have so many issues, you know, that are just in such a place that, you know, you just can't, you know, you can give them information, but, you know, they need more help than you can provide. And that's what a good tarot reader is, know their limitations. The most scary tarot readers I've ever encountered are not the charlatans, which are bad, but the ones who think they can help anybody. It's like, okay, well, where's your degree? Do you have a
mm-hmm.
degree in psychology? Do you have a degree in psychotherapy? You know, are you a PhD? You have a medical PhD? I mean, unless you have any of that kind of stuff, you know, there is so much you can do, you know?
Yeah.
And especially when a typical tarot reading is only 15, 20 minutes. I mean, there's only so much,
exactly.
You know. Right, so.
We only got a couple minutes left, and I kind of wanted to squeeze in a story, if you can nail one down, of a paranormal event that, or, you know, experience
mm-hmm.
that you had, you know, either, you know, personally or when you were out in the field, you know, helping people. So do you have one that you can share?
Well, I can talk about what got me into the belief of the paranormal, which I shared on my website. I've definitely had several paranormal encounters, but that's probably the most pronounced. Basically what happened is I was about 13, I had just got back from my brother Ray's house, I don't remember why, but I was doing something the following day. I said, well, I'll just take a shower now. That way tomorrow I can just get up, you know, brush my teeth and go. And so it was late. I got home. My grandmother raised me. I lived with my grandmother at the time, and we lived by ourselves. And I got home. The house was dark. I peeked in. My grandmother was sleeping in her bed. I went into the shower. Taking my shower, halfway through the shower, I hear three loud thuds on the bathroom door, like someone used the bottom of their clenched fist and just banged on the door. I mean, to the point where I just didn't hear a bang. I heard a bang, and I heard and saw the door vibrate with these three
mm-hmm.
loud poundings on the door. Apparently, it seemed like poundings on the opposite side, and I'm thinking, what the hell is my grandmother doing that for? So I hopped out, wrapped a towel around myself, opened up the door, dark house. So now I'm thinking, wow, for a woman with a cane, she sure can move fast. So I cut across the house, got to a bedroom, peeked my head in the door, and she's still in bed snoring, and the lights are out. And then it hit me, oh, my God, it wasn't my grandmother banging on the bathroom door. And
yeah.
so it was that little instance that kind of, okay, you know, there's something more to our world than, you know, they teach in high school science class. And so that's what got
exactly.
me kind of into the paranormal. And then from there, I guess you could argue the paranormal kind of got me into the occult and the esoteric, which got me into the religion of Wicca and the study of modern-day wizardry, or if you prefer, witchcraft.
That's awesome. And definitely, like, our time's up. 30-minute shows go by so fast, but I really appreciate you coming on. I know. There's so much more we need to talk about. So definitely welcome you back on sometime. Give us more of your story. Everyone who's listening, definitely check out Peter's website. It's gothicwizard.com. He has an array of services that he can provide for everyone. And we'll definitely have you back on soon, I hope. And thank you for calling in tonight.
Oh, thank you. And I certainly had a great time. It's been a pleasure. And I'd be happy to come back anytime you'd like.
All right. Thank you. And thank everyone for listening. This is The Collective. Everyone have a good night.